And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, it's been an exciting week, and one packed with activity and achievements and some tragedy. At the beginning of the week, the infrastructure bill got signed into law. That's big. At the end of the week, the social infrastructure bill in the House was passed in the House, gone to the Senate. Only Manchin knows what's going to happen with that in Simina. We don't know what the bill is, really. At the end of the week also, Kyle Rittenhouse got acquitted. That's going to have, I think, profound effects throughout the country. And other things have happened. That's not, Bannon appeared in court, pled innocent.
Well, he didn't appear. He just,
well, he pled.
Yeah.
Pled not guilty. His lawyer tried to start the strategy of stretching out the clock. Delay, and the judge didn't allow it. But in any case, let's start with the infrastructure bill.
Yeah.
Can you describe some of it? You can't describe all of it. It's 1,700 pages, but you could describe some of it.
Yeah. Well, if you listen to the Republicans, all that they cared about was something that Nancy Pelosi got for her district. But in fact, first of all, this was something that 19 senators, including Mitch McConnell, voted for. It's something that traditionally Republicans have been for, so there should have been far more than 19 votes in the Senate. There were only 13 votes in the House for this bill, and again, there should have been a lot more than that. The interesting part is, of course, a lot of the Republicans who voted against it are going to their home districts after they've seen the headlines in the news about what it means to the districts, and talking about what a great bill it was that they didn't vote for.
But, you know, Trump and the Trump caucus bitterly attacked the Republicans who voted for it as traitors. Not traitors to the country, traitors to Trump.
Yeah. Well, and that fits in with the cult. You know, the leader is the most important, not the country.
Yeah.
And it's somewhat ironic, of course, but irony has been long dead in the Trump years, that Trump would be against an infrastructure bill since he kept promising infrastructure bills virtually every month or every couple of weeks and never could deliver. Rhonda, my wife, and I had lunch with a gentleman that we know who's a Republican, and he was complaining bitterly about Biden. He said, what's he ever done? I said, well, he just passed the infrastructure bill. He said, yeah, but you see how many immigrants are coming across the border? it's that thing, you know. But what's in it are, you know, roads, bridges, internet, things that the country needs badly and are going to be good for the country. The problem for Biden is that none of this, or very little of this, is what the Obama administration used to call shovel ready. You know, it's going to take a little bit of time to work itself out. However, it's going to begin to show. Some of this stuff probably won't show till the spring. You know, you can't really do work on roads and bridges very well in the winter in the northern climes. And he appointed, who was it he appointed in charge of this? One of the former former official from the
Obama. He appointed the former mayor of New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, right, Landrieu.
Yeah.
There's a guy that I think that people should have their eye on. He gave a tremendous speech about race a number of years ago. The Landrieu family, of course, about the only, some of the few Democrats that can get elected in Louisiana. But we'll see. And then also, a lot of this falls under Mayor Pete, now Secretary Pete's purview. So that's a positive thing, that if the Democrats play it right, they should be touting.
I don't know if they're doing any touting. I haven't heard too much.
Well, I think they are. Matt Cartwright's been out there, and a number of Democrats have been out there. Don't forget, Biden went to Detroit, was talking about the electric vehicle, the charging stations, got behind the wheel of a electric Hummer. Of course, they only cost, about $106,000 a piece. So that
there's something wrong with that kind of message.
Yeah, something there. But the other bill, the one that went through, the more social bill, there are things. And actually, I think even on both bills, the Democrats ought to be on the offensive. When they talk about the first bill, they should say, if they're in a House district, your congressman didn't vote for that. You wanted better roads? He didn't vote for that. You want better bridges? He didn't vote for that. You want electric vehicle charging stations, the way to the future? He didn't vote for that. And then, you're going to get the new bill that finally got through the House, where no Republicans voted for it. And that's a little different. They used to call it social infrastructure, human infrastructure. But there are things in there that, for instance, they're going to expand Medicare to include hearing problems. So they should be touting that and say no Republican wants you to get better Medicare. They're going to cap the cost of insulin, which has been raised by the drug companies to really unconscionable levels. This is a generic drug now, and there's no additional costs that have been incurred, and they're life-saving drugs, but they're going to cap that at $35 a month instead of people paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars a month. They should say no Republican wants that. They're talking about universal pre-kindergarten, which is a boon to a lot. First of all, it's more education. It's an earlier thing. My mother was a Head Start teacher, and she knows what it was like to have these kids, starting to learn formally at an earlier age. They're going to. I'm just going off the top of my head. There's a bunch of other things in the bill. First of all, on the pre-K, it frees people up to be able to go back to work. That's one of the things that happened with the COVID, that people stayed home with their kids, and a lot of them aren't going back to work because they don't have childcare. One of the other things in the bill was, I think it's 4 weeks now of family leave if you have a birth of a new child. Joe Manchin doesn't seem to be for any of that, but almost every other country in the world has. Sometimes they've got 12 weeks or more family leave on those things. So, there's a lot there. We're still a long way off from that bill being signed into law.
Yeah, but that may not survive. The family leave may not survive.
Yeah. And Joe Biden was asked for that if the bill doesn't have that. He says, I'm going to sign the bill.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to let the perfect be the enemy of the good, anything that they can get. So we have that. But again, a lot of this continues to be the Republican mantra that government shouldn't do anything, or at least Democrats shouldn't be allowed to do anything for the people, particularly if it doesn't help the ultra wealthy. Although I guess Bernie Sanders has some issues with the bill about that SALT provision, state and local tax provision.
Well, the SALT provision is a peculiar provision because if you cap the amount of federal taxes that can be deducted or you raise it to where the bill wants to raise it to, it ends up being an enormous gift, tax break, to the richest 10% of the country. And so the net effect of the bill, instead of getting the rich to pay for what's going on, they get a bigger tax break and they pay even less. So they've got to do something to put an income cap on that, so that the average people and even well-to-do people don't get cut out, but that the very, very rich end up not getting the big tax break, end up finally paying their fair share.
Yeah, the thing was that the Republicans put a low cap on that, because it affected people mostly in the blue states, like New York, the Chuck Schumer state, and California, and things like that.
Jersey.
Jersey, Connecticut, those states. That'll work itself out. I think there's also something in there for more money for the IRS to go after.
Which the Republicans hate.
Yeah.
Because the Republicans seem to feel that it is legitimate to cheat on your taxes, and the IRS should not go after people who cheat on their taxes.
Right.
It's very interesting.
Now there's a couple of other things that have to be worked out. First of all, some of the bond rating agencies came out and said this will not be inflationary, which was an interesting thing, because that's one of Joe Manchin's excuses. And then there's
Of course, what Bernie and Biden both have been saying all along.
Right. And then there was the Congressional Budget Office about what the effect would be on the deficit, whether it pays for itself or not. And that seems to be still somewhat up in the air, depending on how much you think that the IRS can recapture.
Well, if you don't give it any money, it'll recapture nothing.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. And this continues to be the Republican philosophy that we've talked about ad nauseum about. The Republicans don't believe in governance on these things.
Believe in government. They believe that government should help them. They don't believe government should help working people.
Right. Speaking of people who don't believe in governance, you mentioned Steve Bannon, who's last week was indicted and this week pled not guilty. But I was looking up a little bit about Bannon, and his big thing is he actually calls himself a Leninist. Because he wants to break down all the old institutions of the state. And he never gets into why he wants to do it. And basically, it's so that all the constraints on grifters like himself can be, taken away.
Lenin was not in favor of the state disappearing before capitalism disappeared. Lenin was all for the state being used against exploiters. So Bannon is not exactly a Leninist. He's an anti-Leninist.
Well, but, whoever says he really knows what he was talking about, he's just he's just a dangerous guy. And the more that's coming out about January 5th, the night before the 6th, remember that Bannon promised that there were going to be some pretty crazy things happening on the 6th. And we have that book by Jonathan Carl and talking about the meeting in the war room at the Willard Hotel.
The meeting. The fact that they actually established something that they themselves called a war room for a demonstration. I've organized and participated in the leadership of a lot of demonstrations. We never had a war room. I don't think we would have ever imagined the whole concept.
Yeah. And it appears that one of the, we talk about the subpoena that's been issued and Trump's attempts to claim executive privilege. The records, I don't think Bannon is ever going to testify, even if he gets in front of the committee. But the records, the phone records, the logs about who was talking to whom and for how long, could be very, very important in establishing things. Were they talking to the Proud Boys? the people over there in, at that Willard Hotel, the Rogues Gallery, Bannon, Rudy Giuliani, Stone.
Mark Meadows.
Mark Meadows, yeah. He might be in more difficulty. Although I heard at the end of the week that the Republicans who are anticipating taking over the House say that they may put Mark Meadows in as the Speaker of the House. Some of them are touting Donald Trump for that.
Well, Mark Meadows touted Donald Trump for that.
Yeah.
But you know why that won't happen? Because Trump will never get up in time to get to the House.
Well, that's a weird deal. He'll just won't call the House into session.
Oh, but that could
until
be.
He gets up.
Yeah.
But file that under don't count your chickens before they're hatched. Now, of course, the Republicans are doing everything around the country to try to rig things. They're, you know.
Well, they've done pretty good so far. I've read that they've managed to gerrymander enough seats so that all things being equal, if the voting next time is like it was last time, they get a majority.
Yeah, they pick up about 5 or 6 seats, and yeah, they lose 1 or 2. But you know, there's a couple of places.
Even though the Democrats poll more votes.
Yeah, in Ohio, the people voted to have an independent commission, and the Republicans went out and gerrymandered a map in defiance of that. Wisconsin, they're trying the same thing.
North Carolina, they did it.
They did it. And, you know, it's very extreme how they're doing it. They did it in Georgia. They did with one of these districts. It's like pie shape where, you know, there's a concentrate. There's a district that is pretty much black. And what they did is they carve it up sort of as it goes out. And so you get a little bit of the black vote in all these other in all these districts that then become white majority districts.
Right.
So they're trying to take a seat away there.
And, that's something that the Jim Crow legislatures did all the time.
Yeah. And this is something that wouldn't have gotten through except for the Supreme Court eviscerating the Civil Rights Act of 1965. Where they, so,
well, you know, in this connection, I got to say that the Democratic Party in New York State really did a terrible job in this last election by not doing anything to make sure that the ballot questions to make sure that voting by mail, that voting registration, same-day registration, all kinds of things to make voting easy would be within the Constitution of the state of New York. They didn't campaign for that, and they were all defeated by a well-funded $3 million Republican campaign to defeat them. The Democrats didn't put up a nickel.
Well, they haven't put
it. Yeah, hard to understand that.
Yeah. They didn't put up money in Pennsylvania a couple of years ago, last spring when there were ballot measures in Pennsylvania about the governor's powers either.
Right.
So we had, we see that repeated where they just fall down on the job on those things. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, we talked about Bannon and the insurrection. One local story is that Frank Scavo, the candidate who constantly runs, the Republican, who was arrested, gets sentenced on Monday. And the government has only asked for 2 weeks of incarceration followed by a probationary period. If you remember, Frank denied even being in the Capitol. He organized 8 buses to go down there. And, you know, when he was arraigned, he touted the Constitution and his freedom of speech and everything. Now he's whistling a different tune. We'll see. The government's gotten some harsher sentences. The judges in the District of Columbia are coming down harder in some ways than the Justice Department. They put the shaman away, the judge, for about 3.5 years, despite his pleas. And some of the others, and they're all, and all these guys that are in jail in Washington, D.C., are complaining about the conditions in the jail.
Well, maybe they should join the prison reform movement.
Yeah, I'll believe that when we see that, when we see that. The House did one other thing this week, and that is they censured Paul Gosar.
They censured Paul Gosar for posting a video on one of his websites or his Facebook page that showed him murdering AOC and also Biden.
Attacking Biden, shooting AOC and attacking Biden with swords.
That's right. So they did that. And he was defended by a lot of Republicans, including McCarthy, the leader of the Republicans. But he was censured. He was removed from committees, whereupon he went up and reposted the same thing.
The video, yep. I should note that only two Republicans voted to censure him, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger.
Yeah. And Liz Cheney was thrown out of the Republican Party by a vote of the Wyoming Republican Party.
Yeah, they said she's no longer Republican.
No longer Republican.
Yeah. Right. She's probably the most Republican member of the House. What do you think about it? Of course, that was the pre-Trump Republican Party.
She may have been in the standard bearer for the pre-Trump Republican Party, but her voting record in the last year was that she supported 92% of the Trump initiatives. Her voting record, 92%.
More than some of the people in leadership.
The woman who took her place, Ellie Stefanik from New York State, only supported 62% of what Trump proposed.
Yeah.
So
details. By the way, the Republicans in the House voted Pennsylvania Representative Scott Perry to lead the Freedom Coalition, the Freedom
Caucus,
yeah,
right,
in the House. Now, of course, Scott Perry is the guy who helped put Jeffrey Clark into his position in the Attorney General's office.
Right, Jeffrey Clark was the environmental lawyer who Scott Perry proposed should become the Attorney General, right?
We had no real experience to doing that, but Jeffrey Clark then would have gone along with writing a letter to Dick Cheney in Congress saying that the election had basically been stolen. Right. There were inconsistencies. And Jeffrey Rosen...
Not Cheney, Pence.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Pence. I'm sorry, Vice President. And
it's hard to keep these guys apart, I know.
Jeffrey Rosen and a whole other bunch of deputy attorney generals said, if you do this, we're all going to resign en masse.
You know, I don't know why that was effective. I don't know why Trump just didn't look at them and say, quit. I don't care. Quit.
Well, it may, in light of, remember the old Saturday Night Massacre under Nixon, those things have a way of really stirring things up.
Yeah, but, you know, Nixon, for all you can say about him, and there's plenty to say about him that's no good, he wanted to run the government. But Trump didn't give a damn. What he wanted to do is make sure that he get back into power. So I just think when it comes down to it, Trump is a coward and stupid. Because if he weren't a coward and if he weren't stupid, he'd have said Jeffrey Rosen, quit, goodbye, you're out.
Yeah. You know, it's still interesting that Rosen's predecessor, Bill Barr, bailed out just before Christmas of last year. You wonder what kind of, even he didn't have the stomach to push through some of what Trump was doing.
I guess he figured he did what he wanted to do. There was no point in staying for another 4 weeks. There was not much he could do except be an enabler for Trump, which he hated doing, and he didn't like Trump anyway.
Well, but he did what he did it anyway.
He did it anyway, but once he did it, he didn't want to get his hand. He did it on a policy level, but he didn't want to get his hands dirty with Trump personally. I think that's what it's all about. He's a reprehensible character. There's nothing good to be said about him.
No. But, yeah.
Now, at the end of the week, we had the Rittenhouse verdict.
Yeah.
Innocent. Imagine, yeah. His defense was that he, at the request of the owners of several auto lots, he had to defend them. The owners of the auto lots said they never asked him to defend the auto lots, and they didn't want him to defend the auto lots. His defense of the auto lots was killing two guys.
You know, the only people that were now, we should say that these were demonstrations that turned ugly after a shooting of a black man. And this kid comes across the state lines, has an AK-15 or AK-47, I can't remember which one, and decides that he's going to, you know, help protect property by use of deadly force.
He's a vigilante.
Yeah.
He decides to be a vigilante. He had wet dreams about being a vigilante.
Yeah. And, you know, the only people that were shot, despite all the hoopla about what was going on in Kenosha, Wisconsin, the only people who were shot by Rittenhouse.
That's right. This is how the Klan operates. This is the modern version of the Klan. Yeah. Rittenhouse is like any other Klansman. That's how they operate.
The thing is, I think it would have been worse if any of the victims were black. But they weren't. He shot three white people.
Yeah.
However, we have two other trials that ended this week. We're waiting for the juries on next week that we need to talk about. One is the Ahmaud Arbery shooting down in, Georgia?
Georgia.
Where these three guys, now talk about Klan, they essentially hunted this kid who was jogging down. They introduced the weapon, and they, when he tried to get it away, he kept telling these people, he wasn't going to stop for them or whatever. I mean, if you can imagine, you're a black kid, and there's these people in two trucks, with a gun coming after you. What else?
Two trucks with a Confederate flag on it.
Yeah, and the defense was pretty weak in these. The Rittenhouse defense, they had. If you talk to legal experts, they had better grounds. This one, they had virtually nothing to work with. They put one of the defendants on the stand, and he just got eviscerated on cross-examination by the DA. And after he finished testifying, they quit the defense. They had no other witnesses.
It may not matter.
Well, we'll see.
Of course, the judge there is not quite as biased. No. Toward the defense, as the judge was in the.
I never saw a judge tell the jury they should applaud a witness, let alone a defense witness.
Yeah.
But then the other one was the Charlottesville case, the civil case against the people that Unite the Right rally people.
Yeah, the ones who ran their car into the crowd and who killed that woman, Heather.
Right. Yeah. And that's going to be interesting. That verdict. That's a civil case. It's not. The burden of proof is far less, and that's for a lot of money. Speaking about a lot of money, Alex Jones got hit by a judge for his his outrageous shtick. He wouldn't turn over documents, so he. He lost his case, and they're going to have to assess money on him. This is how you break people, though, with large verdicts against them on civil cases.
Well, we'll see what happens. Well, it's too much. It's really too much. Anyway, we're out of time.
Yeah.
We're out of time. We haven't had a chance to talk about the John Deere strike, which was settled. It looks like the workers won.
Yeah.
But, of course, the Kellogg strike continues. We haven't talked about some local Pennsylvania election news. The Republicans have got themselves more candidates running for governor. But we can't get into that now. Next week.
Yeah. Next week.
See you next week.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.